we're back. Well, at least I'm back, and hopefully everyone else is back, too. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And what I do here is, basically, we go through the Bible. And book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And my website is crosstheborder.org. If you're listening for the first time or you haven't visited my website, I'd like you to visit my website and take advantage of the resources there. You'll find many Bible studies that have been done already. I suggest starting with Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, the first three books of the Bible. And that's where we started last year as I began the project of going through the whole scripture again, and we will be doing that over the next, however many years it takes to do this project. 2 hours a day, 3 or 4 days a week, as many as I can get in here. If I do 5 days a week, well, that would be an unusual week because it's hard to, with all the work I have to do, pretty much consider myself like Paul the Apostle, as far as the way I conduct my ministry. He was a tent maker, so he didn't beg for money, and a few people donate, and I appreciate that, but mostly I support this ministry through my own hard labor, and I don't mind doing that. As a matter of fact, it's an honor and a privilege to work for my master. He gives me the labor. My labor is a gift from him, that I'm able to do it, and that I have the capacity, the knowledge to do the things that I do in my so-called tent-making ministry. And, of course, my tent-making ministry is to run several radio stations on the Internet and a network and satellite, and to be heard around the world, also a vehicle for this Bible study program and many other fine ministries, and information network so people can get some good information out there. Very few people do it. This is not a for-profit type enterprise, but it is nice to be able to pay the bills and buy the bread and pay for the expenses. So for those of you that do give any amount, it's much appreciated, even appreciated if all you can do is send me an email and tell me you're listening, and spread the word about this program, about this Bible teaching. I know it is unusual, and that most people will not be able to endure this much hardcore Bible teaching. Let's jump back into our text here. We're still in chapter 10, and verse 28, that's where we'll pick up. He goes, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And of course, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God that we have from the scripture, so we know who he's talking about, who has sway over both body and soul. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father?" So what he's saying, well, of course, two sparrows are sold for a farthing. That was the poor man's sacrifice and offering, was a bird, you know. Of course, there in Israel, they have the sacrificial system. But he's getting across the idea that not one little bird, not one sparrow, falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father's knowledge. He knows everything. And if he takes notice of the sparrow, of each and every sparrow that falls to the ground, certainly he takes notice of whatever might be happening to us. So he continues, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Yeah, our Heavenly Father knows everything, even how many hairs we have on our head. We can only estimate how many hairs on our head we have on our head. By the time we start counting on one end, get to the other, the number will have changed. And for some people, more than others. That's right. Some people's hair is falling out faster than others. Okay, fear ye not, therefore, you are of much more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Makes me think of all those that suffered through the Inquisition that were commanded to recant or die. And what is the confession of our Master? Well, it's the confession of His Word. It's the confession of His truth. And many suffered. And even today, many are suffering. You have those of the Islamic Jihad ilk out there in some nations, specifically thinking of the Sudan and neighboring territories. And it seems to be spreading to throughout much more of Africa that these thugs go around in the name of Allah, and when they find Christians, they make them recant or convert or die, and many of them will die, and perhaps some will recant because their faith isn't that deep. It hasn't happened to me yet, but it could. It could come here to America. I see that the winds are changing here. So whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you know, there's a real test. There are many people out there who will take the mark of the beast, or have taken the mark of the beast, and won't repent of it. Because, well, they need to provide bread for their children. And certainly God understands. Yes, He understands. Let's read His understanding. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There, you have His understanding. Because people do wicked things. People recant. People deny, and they say, well, God understands. Or people deny the law of God. And they said, certainly God understands why I can't keep His law. Or they listen to those who say the law was nailed to the cross, and they go, well, God understands why I can't keep His law. Yes, He understands. You're putting something before Him. You love a thing more than you love Him. Here's His understanding. I'm going to read it again. He that loveth father or mother more than me. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't love our father and our mother, but we put Him first. Yes, Yahshua, our Messiah, our Heavenly Father and His law and His kingdom come first before everything. We love the Creator more than we love the creation. Yeah, He created our mother, our father, our son, our daughter. He created those things. He created us. So we have to love Him before we love ourselves. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's His understanding. Yes, He understands. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And what is the cross? Well, what happened to the cross? It's a reference to what happened on the cross. He was punished for our sins. The deeds of the flesh were crucified on the cross for us. If we aren't crucifying the deeds of the flesh, carrying our cross, how do we do that? How do we carry the cross? How do we crucify the deeds of the flesh? The deeds of the flesh refer to the things that are against his law, the things that please not the Heavenly Father. It's not a sin to enjoy a good meal, but it's a sin to deny Christ to enjoy a good meal. It's not a sin to enjoy your wife and your children and do all those lawful things. None of those things are sinful, but it is sinful to put any of those things before him, because then that becomes idolatry. And of course, adultery is a sin, and all of the stealing from your neighbor, his substance and his labor, is a sin. No, we have the law. So unless we're crucifying the deeds of the flesh, and that means daily walking in repentance, recognizing when we break his law that it's wrong, and asking him to help us to write his law upon his heart so that we can do only the things that please him. That's what it means to crucify the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means to carry your cross. All of those things, that's what it means. So he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. So whoever's seeking his own life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and that he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So when they receive us, when they receive our word, they're receiving him. And when they receive him, they receive the Heavenly Father who sent him. So he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoso shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yahshua, Jesus, had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said to him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So here we have John, he's in prison, he sends two of his disciples to Christ, and he asks them the question, Are you the one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So what he's saying is, go tell him, witness to him the things that you say, and he'll understand. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. And what he's saying, this is what Elijah foretold. This is what he foretold, which was to come. And he that has ears to hear, let him hear. For whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So he went to these cities. Remember, we were reading about it here previously. And he went around, and great throngs of people were following him. Many were being healed. He was preaching the word to them. It had no effect. And that's why he said it's going to be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, because it didn't have any effect. And people go, well, why aren't miracles happening today? And then you have people following after miracles. They just desire a miracle more than anything. But here we see why. These miracles were for a sign to authenticate who he was, that he was the one foretold of the prophets, and even the man who was in Abraham's bosom, the wicked man. What did Abraham say to him? Hey, even though one rise from the dead, they still won't repent. They have the law and the prophets. Let them pay attention to that. Because even if one rose from the dead, they wouldn't pay attention. It wouldn't make any difference. So miracles. So he begins to upbraid those cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Chapter 11, verse 20. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It's like nothing happened. I come here and look at this. Nothing's happened. Woe to you! But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Now, this is not a message they want to hear. You know, this is some fire and brimstone preaching going on. That's what they would call this today. Hellfire and brimstone preaching, because that's what he's preaching. Yes, he was going around healing. He was preaching the word in the kingdom of God, but now he's back. And he's not happy with what he's seeing, because he's seeing nothing. Woe to you. That's what he's saying. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Wow. What a statement. And I'll tell you, these people in Capernaum, those Capernaumites that are listening to him are not liking what they're hearing, I would imagine. Because they say he's telling them that Sodom and Sodom would have remained to this day if the things had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom. And he ain't a liar. You know, Yahshua, he didn't have to make nothing up. He knew the truth. He knew what would have been if things had been different. He's the only one who could theorize and have his theories be absolutely true. He could be the only, to us it would be an assumption. We could only theorize. But when he said something like this, you knew it was true. Because he was the creator. He was the God of the universe. He knows that Sodom and Gomorrah, that Sodom would have repented had those works been done. And that preaching had been preached in Sodom. They would have repented long ago. Listen. Listen to this hellfire and brimstone message that he's given to these, to his own nation Israel. And I'll tell you what, this is the point where he's not making any friends. But the righteous hear. The righteous will always hear. There was a remnant, even in Israel in that day. And we talked about the obedient. and the posterity of the obedient yesterday. And we talked about the disobedient and the posterity of the disobedient yesterday. And if you missed that, you should listen to it. I think that was in the first segment of our last segment in Matthew, or last program on Matthew. So he says to Capernaum, "You are exalted unto heaven, you will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained till this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, Father. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them to babes." So he's saying, you've hid these things from those who think they're, who are wise in their own eyes. Let's remember how this applies in context here. And that's what he's saying. We're going into a short break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. We'll be back in a few minutes.